Assalamu alaikum, this is Zulf Shah. You're listening to the Remap Your Mind podcast, where I will be talking about mindsets, relationships, religion, culture, and spiritual afflictions.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Remap Your Mind. In today's brief but important episode, we're shedding light on an issue that often goes unnoticed, yet it deeply impacts countless families. It's a reality that disrupts homes, strains relationships, and leaves people feeling isolated and confused. I receive many phone calls from individuals who are facing this exact situation, unsure of what's happening, uncertain of what to do, and searching for answers. So what do you do when someone in your household doesn't want to help themselves, whether it's due to seher tafriq or the weight of dysfunctional family dynamics? And what happens when a father is no longer present, whether he wants to help but can't reach his family, or he's absent altogether and unwilling to engage in ruqya or spiritual support? Now, these situations are incredibly difficult because while we're responsible for our own spiritual well-being, living in a home where others are resistant or where there's a lack of stability can feel like you're carrying a weight that isn't yours alone. So what do you do in a situation like that? So let's start with the first scenario. You live with someone who clearly needs help. Maybe you recognize the signs of tafriq seher causing division and emotional disconnection, or perhaps family dynamics such as years of unresolved trauma have created a cycle of denial, or maybe spiritually they're disconnected. They don't pray, don't believe in the existence of jinn and seher, or dismiss the idea altogether. On the other hand, they might pray 5 times a day and firmly believe that nothing can harm them, and no matter how much you encourage ruqya or spiritual healing, they resist or shut down. The reality is that you cannot force anyone to change. Healing is a door that opens from the inside. But what you can do is protect your own spiritual space and create an environment that softens their resistance. And this is where your energy matters. So you want to anchor yourself first. If you're exhausted, frustrated, or spiritually depleted, it's going to be harder to influence those around you. So focus on your own ruqya, your connection to Allah, and your mental clarity first. This way, you become a stabilizing presence when your heart is firm. Now, even if they won't engage, your home can still carry the light of protection by regularly playing Surah Baqarah, especially if you sense spiritual interference. Also by maintaining the morning and evening adhkar. The barakah, the blessings of Allah's words, has a way of reaching hearts, even those who seem closed off. Another thing we should never underestimate is the power of dua. The heart you think is hardened can soften overnight if Allah wills. Ask Allah to open their hearts to truth and healing, and be consistent. Sometimes the change happens slowly, but it happens. So you also want to try and remain calm. If tension is high, don't engage in arguments. Tafriq seher thrives in chaos and disconnection. When you refuse to react with anger, you disrupt that cycle. As difficult as it may be to stay calm, try and speak with wisdom and disengage from power struggles. It's not going to be easy in the beginning, especially if tafriq is affecting the entire family. Now, what if the father no longer lives in the home, perhaps due to work commitments, visiting only once a month, or maybe after a divorce, but he genuinely wants to help? Now, this is especially hard because consistency is key in ruqya, and physical distance can make it difficult to provide the consistent support needed. However, it's important to remember that ruqya is not limited by physical proximity. Now, the first call to action, if the couple is still married, would be for both spouses to work together collectively, supporting one another and their children, if they have any. The father can still play an active role by reciting ruqya over water or oil, blowing over it and arranging it for it to be given to the family. He should also stay updated on how things are progressing at home, maintaining a supportive and proactive presence, even while he's away. Now, in situations where the parents are separated or divorced, the father can still make a difference. He should try to maintain open communication where possible. Even brief check-ins can provide emotional grounding and reassurance. If direct contact is limited, he can send voice recordings of ruqya or daily du'as, reminding his children of his care and concern. And above all, the du'a of a parent is incredibly powerful. The father should persist in making du'a for his children, especially during the last third of the night when du'as are mostly accepted. Now, even if he cannot be physically present, his sincere supplications can serve as a protective lifeline for his family. The impact of a heartfelt du'a reaches far beyond what we can see. And as I've mentioned in previous episodes, healing through ruqya is not always immediate. It requires patience, faith, and perseverance. Hearts may take time to soften, and barriers may take time to break. Consistency is key, but so is patience. Every effort, no matter how small, counts in the unseen world. The results may not be visible right away, but your persistence will make a difference. So what happens when the father is absent, whether emotionally, spiritually, or physically, and has no desire to engage with ruqya or the well-being of the family? And even more painful, what if your father has passed away? This is one of the most painful situations because there's a natural desire for both parents to provide protection. But when one steps away, it leaves a gap that feels impossible to fill. So as difficult as it may be, you have to accept what you can't control. If your father is alive and he's disconnected, you cannot force someone to care, but you can release the emotional weight of waiting for them to show up. Anchor yourself in the knowledge that Allah is the ultimate guardian. He is closer and more protective than any absent figure. This doesn't mean you stop strengthening the spiritual core of the home. If the father is unwilling to participate, the responsibility to fortify the home will naturally fall on those who remain. So you continue the daily protection routines, adhkar, your ruqya, recitation of Surah Baqarah. And of course, in a situation like this, the absence is felt deeply, especially by children. It's essential to create a safe emotional space where feelings can be processed without judgment. Everyone handles things differently, and some may find it easier to talk to someone outside of the family, someone they can open up to in ways they can't at home. So encouraging this kind of support is important. No one should have to carry this alone. Seek community support, whether from a coach, a ruqya practitioner, or trusted mentors who genuinely understand how sihr tafriq works. And I can't stress this enough, it's important that you avoid well-meaning advice from friends and family who don't fully grasp the nature of sihr tafriq. Even with the best intentions, their advice can sometimes cause more harm than good. Now, ultimately, you place your trust in Allah's justice, even when others abandon their responsibilities. Allah's justice never fails. Place your trust in Him, knowing that every act of patience and every sincere dua is seen and heard. And so there's another common scenario where the mother or another family member who is present refuse to acknowledge their affliction. And as you can imagine, this can create further emotional and spiritual strain. So how do you handle a situation like this? Now, despite these different types of situations people may find themselves in, you always maintain your spiritual routine. Ensure that you and any willing family member continue their ruqya, daily adhkar, and recitation of protective surahs. This positive spiritual environment, inshallah, will create subtle pressure for the afflicted to soften over time. Now, as humans, we learn by example, both positive and negative behaviors. When people observe others demonstrating specific actions or attitudes, especially those they trust or spend time with, they are more likely to internalize and adopt those behaviors themselves. So you want to be the one who leads by example. Quietly demonstrate the benefits of ruqya by showing calmness, stability, and emotional strength. And as much as we might want to help someone or get them on board, so you can collectively, as a family, break a generational sihr. But sometimes actions are more persuasive than words. And going back to what I mentioned earlier, you have to accept what you can't control. You can't force someone to change, as painful as it may feel, and it doesn't help your situation. Just place your trust in Allah. Over time, whether things work out and everyone comes on board, alhamdulillah if they do, and if they don't, you will still be rewarded for your effort. There's nothing wrong with offering small, consistent encouragement, but avoid pushing too hard or engaging in arguments. Instead, gently encourage simple practices like drinking ruqya water, listening to Surah Baqarah, or reciting basic du'as. And pray for their guidance. Consistently make du'a, asking Allah to remove any barriers of denial and open their hearts to see the truth. Don't ever underestimate the power of du'a. Your persistence in prayer is a powerful unseen force. And establish boundaries if necessary. If denial leads to harmful behaviors or toxic dynamics, set healthy emotional and spiritual boundaries while maintaining kindness and patience. As difficult as it may be, all you can do is just try your best. So in situations like this where family dynamics and spiritual struggles collide, the most important thing to remember is that your efforts are never wasted. Even if the changes aren't immediate, every step you take toward healing, every dua you make, and every moment of patience is building something unseen but powerful. And while it's true that you can't control the actions of others, you can always control how you show up, with intention, with faith, and with the certainty that Allah's help is near. May Allah grant healing and stability to every home struggling with these challenges, and may He give us the wisdom and patience to navigate them with grace. If you find value in this podcast and want to support the work I do, you can now join me on Patreon at Zulf Shah. Right now, the podcast operates with zero revenue, but a significant amount of time, effort, and personal investment goes into every episode. From researching complex topics and reviewing patient and client documents to recording, editing, and post-production, your support will help keep the podcast going and allow me to continue providing guidance for those navigating spiritual and emotional challenges. Patreon members will get exclusive access to mini episodes with advanced insights, personal reflections, and spiritual tips, something I'm currently working on. You'll also receive early access to full episodes and eventually premium member calls and private Q&A sessions where I'll address your most requested topics. I'm still in the process of finalizing the digital downloads and organizing the premium calls and Q&A sessions, so I appreciate your patience as I continue to build these offerings. If you'd like to be a part of this journey and support the work, head over to Zulf Shah on Patreon. You'll find the link in the description. So until next time, inshallah, assalamu alaikum to all my brothers and sisters, wherever you are.